Good morning, family. This is the day the Lord has made, and we are excited to be in His presence, and I am excited that you are here today. Amen?
Amen.
Wow. We have been longing for this time, and God has given us another opportunity to be together, to gather in this space, to be able to worship Him. And to our friends who are worshiping with us from your homes, we welcome you. We greet you in the name of our Savior, Lord Jesus the Christ. Welcome to Tabernacle Community Church. Our motto or our saying is, this is a place to belong, believe, and become everything that God has intended us to be. I trust that you are enjoying this Advent season as we anticipate the rebirth of our Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts. I trust that you are enjoying this season as we anticipate the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and His birth anew in our heart. Because we are now going to be here on December 25, the date that we normally will commemorate this, so I want to say to you, Merry, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. May the Lord be reborn in your heart during this season. And I will say forever. It is my joy. It is my joy to stand here before you today as we continue in our series, Longing for Home. And there's been preachers, proclaimers of the Word of God who have come before me and they have opened up the Word of Scriptures, where they have taught us that our hearts long to be home. And where is home? Home is where the Father is. And that's where we desire to be. So if you have a copy of the Bible, I'm going to invite you to come along with me. Today we're going to spend a majority of our time in the book of Isaiah, chapter 55. So if you would, please turn there, Isaiah chapter 55. And as you are turning there, here is the overarching message I would like us to take home today. Now, I'm excited to stand here and I'm going to share with you a lot of words. And as I do so, I don't want you to get lost in my words. So I want you to get what I really want to communicate to you right at the beginning of what we are going to do. So the big idea for what we are going to do today is this. Now, I know this has been a bumpy road. It's been a tough year. But in this tough year, if we can do this, if you can take this home with you, this is the big idea. In this tough year, if we stay focused on God today, rather than what happens tomorrow, let us forget to look for what God is willing to do and what He's doing today, we'll have a very difficult time. So the big idea is this: stay focused on God today. Focus on Him today rather than what may happen tomorrow. Lest we forget to look for what God is willing to do and is doing today. Now, I'm going to share a lot of words with you, but I want you to capture that and keep that with you, that our focus should be on God today. Now, in Isaiah 55, and I know you went there because I called you to go there, Isaiah 55, we are going to read all 13 verses of this chapter. And out of these 13 verses, there are going to be words that I trust are going to be encouraging to do for you, to you today. Here's the word of our Lord. The prophet proclaims, he says, "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come and buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen, that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to you, to David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler and a commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you now know. A nation you do not know will come running to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. For he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declare the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper, and instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever. Amen? We encounter in a passage we just read together the two very most powerful words in all of Scripture. And you may ask, preacher, what are those words? Right at the beginning of the chapter, the very first verse, we encounter these two words: come and drink. These are the most powerful words in all of Scripture. Come and drink. Everyone knows what it is like to be thirsty. Everyone knows that without water, they will likely die. So the Lord says, come. Come and drink. In a Messiah's kingdom, these are very, very important. He says, come and drink. And when you come and drink, you will be satisfied. That's a promise that the Messiah gives. He says, come and drink. And when you come and drink, you will be satisfied. It is a kingdom where people, yet unknown, will be running to become a part of it from all tribes, from all nations, from all languages, will come to the Messiah, and they will drink, and they will be satisfied. The one the prophet is talking about here is a word. And we heard quoted earlier as my sister and the group that were leading us into worship, John chapter 1, verse 1 through 4, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. And this word says to you, and it's saying to me today, come and drink. And when you come and drink, you will be satisfied. All your needs will be met. Come and drink. That's a call. So the Lord invites all those who are hungry, all those who are thirsty, to come to the banquet feast of the Lord. Come and drink. Now hear this. This invitation to the banquet is free. Come and drink. The invitation is free. This is like the invitation to receive eternal life. We receive eternal life as a free gift of God. Not for anything that we've done, but only by his grace. So if you are taking notes, it should be point number one in your program. Salvation. Salvation is a free gift of God extended to all who repent of their sins and accept their free gift, the free gift of God. It is not because of anything that we've done, not anything special. It is only by his grace. Now, salvation is conditional, my friends. And that condition is to receive the gift. That condition is to receive the gift that has been given to you. So your response to the gift that has been extended to you is the only condition that you have to fulfill to be able to receive this gift of God. So if you go back to Isaiah chapter 55 and you look at verse 1, this is what the Lord says. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. It is free to you. It's extended to you. It says, come and receive. That's a gift of God. Jesus speaks of this in the book of Matthew. If you would, please just turn there with me very quickly. Matthew chapter 22. Jesus speaks of this. He gives a parable speaking of what the prophet is talking about here in Matthew chapter 22. And if you look at verse 1, this is what Jesus says. Jesus spoke to them again in parables saying, all the kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a banquet for his son. And the only thing that the king required of people is to respond to the invitation that he had given. Now, this pericope or this passage of scripture, this particular section here, is the third parables in which Jesus explains out the logical conclusion of defiance of the chief priests and the leaders of the nation of Israel to the message of grace of God. Here Jesus is explaining the defiance of the leaders of the people of Israel, the chief priest, and it comes to the logical conclusion of their defiance to the message of the grace of God. Follow with me. Verse 3. So the king sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come. But guess what? They refused. Now, this is like today, if we have a feast, we have a wedding, we send out invitations. And the reason we send out invitations is because we want to be prepared for the guests that are going to come. So if we receive fewer RSVPs, we are going to prepare less food because we don't have a lot of people coming. But if we receive a lot of RSVPs, probably in this particular context here, instead of slaughtering one or two chickens, they slaughter a calf because that will have enough meat to feed everybody. Now, verse 3 of Matthew chapter 22 tells us, he sent his servant to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come. But they refused. They refused. Now, quickly, as we go through these parables here, there are three groups of characters in here. I think you are familiar with this, so I'm going to retell you a story that you might have heard before. But follow carefully so you can be able to see who is in it, and probably you may be able to see yourself among some of the people in here. Three groups in this parable. The king and his son, the first group. Of the invited guests who spurned the invitation with the lame excuses of how busy they have been to attend the banquet. And you're going to find out that in a few minutes. The second group of guests who unexpectedly receive the invitation and they come. And you are going to see that in a few minutes. So follow along with me. We are verse 3. So we go to verse 4. Matthew chapter 22. Because they refused, he then sent some more servant and said, Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. Some had said, yes, they're going to come. My oxen and fatted cattle. So a lot of people might have said yes, because he didn't do chicken now. He goes to the cattle. So a lot of people might have said yes, that they're going to come. So he goes and slaughtered the fatted calf, cattle, and butchered it, and everything is ready. Come to the banquet, to the wedding banquet. Verse 5. But the people that were invited, they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest, or those who were present, when the servant came, they seized his servant, mistreated them, and killed them. Now, understandably, verse 7, the king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Just a quick parenthesis here. This could be also making the allusion or reference to what happened in Israel in 70 AD. They refused the message of grace of God. And if you look historically, Jerusalem was destroyed. Jerusalem was burned. Then verse 8, then he said to his servant, the wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So do this. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find. So the servant went out into the street and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good. And the banquet hall was filled with guests. But then something strange happened. But then the king came in to see the guests. He noticed a man there who was now wearing wedding clothes. He asked, how did you get in here without wearing clothes, my friend? The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendant, tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen. You know, when you go to a banquet, when you go to a wedding, so I walked in here this morning and everybody's remarking, I like that suit, Pastor. So my words were, listen, it's a festive day. So when you go to a banquet back then and even today, you put on your best. Is that right? But somehow, there was a guy who got in there who did not prepare to go to the banquet. And the king said, how did you get in here? So I want you to be prepared. I want you to be prepared. And your preparation will be this, to be able to receive the gift that the prophet is telling us here in Isaiah chapter 55. The free gift of God, the salvation of God, that is extended to you free of charge. During that time, and even today, people send invitations, and I'm sending an invitation to you based on what the prophet is saying. He says, come to me, all you who are weary. If you are thirsty, come to me. I'll give you water. Come, I'll give you water. I'll give you water to drink, and that water will be able to satisfy all your need. All your need. He said, come, all you who are thirsty, come to the water. You who have no money, come and buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? I wonder why we spend our energy pursuing. Why do we spend our energy pursuing? This is what the prophet is asking. He says, why spend money on things that are ephemeral? That is, things that just are here today and tomorrow they are gone. That's what the prophet is saying. He's saying, come to me and do what is lasting. He said, listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the riches of fare. give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. I'm going to make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. If you go to verse 7, it says that the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he will give mercy on them and to our God, for he will freely pardon. At the banquet, this banquet you are invited to, King says this, he says, when you come to me and you receive this, you will be satisfied. But if you hold off and you hold back, you are going to miss on what I've prepared for you. Continue to read Isaiah 55, see on verse 8. He said, because my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declared the Lord. In verse 9, he says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. In verse 10, he goes on to say, as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it will yield seed for the sower and bread for the eater. Can you see yourself in what the prophet is talking about? Can you see yourself in Matthew chapter 22 where people are invited, they say they will come and yet they renege on their invitation? Can you see yourself amongst the people that the king sent out? He says, go out in the streets, call the good and the bad. Can you see yourself in those individuals? Let me tell you, friends, I did. As I sat in the office here, as I sat in the office in my basement, poring over these words, I can see, I said, Lord, I am amongst those people when you sent your servant out on the street. The one who was not deserving of coming to the banquet in the first place. But those who were deserving, those who called, I did not come. But I was among the people that were on the street that you called. You said, come. And I'm so glad. I'm so glad by the power of the Holy Spirit, I was to say, yes, Lord, I'm coming. And because I said, yes, Lord, I'm coming, he received me. And then when he received me, I confessed his son as my personal savior. Now I know. I know that I have a seat at the banquet. I know when it's all over here that I am going to be with him, feasting with him at that banquet because of what Jesus Christ did for me. So this morning I'm asking you, he's saying, come to the banquet. Come to the table. Are you thirsty? Come. I will satisfy your thirst. That's what the Lord is saying to you. God extends his invitation to all. No one is excluded. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1 through 7, he says, come to me. And if you read those verses, you find out that there is no discrimination here. He says, come to me, all who are thirsty. That is, everyone who is thirsty, he says, come to me. He makes his banquet ready. He says, come to this table. It's for everyone. So my question is, are you willing to come? Are you willing to come and participate in this feast? It is free. The only thing we have to do is say, yes, I am willing to come, Lord, and you will be a part of the feast. And I know many amongst us have said yes to the invitation. Many amongst us have come to the feast. And when the Lord says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, we begin to ask, how can we have the thoughts of the Lord? How can we be like him? Because to be like him, to have his thoughts, the way he's thinking is the way that we are thinking. How can we be that? Now, you who have come to the table are now following him. You are to have his thoughts. So he has commissioned you. And this is what he has said. He said, I sent you out to invite others to also come to the table. Because when you go out and invite others to come to the table, then you have his thought. Hear what verse 8 says. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways are my ways, declare the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, So my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We find here God speaking through the prophet, declaring how he is not like us. But how can we be like him? How can we have his thoughts? Oh, there is an answer. There is an answer. So turn with me to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13, we find the answer of how we can have the thought of God. Or at least how we can exemplify the thought of God. He said, my thoughts are now your thoughts. My ways are now your ways. And we ask a question, how can we have the thought of God? How can we have the ways of God? Oh, the writer of Hebrews gave us an answer. Hebrews chapter 13. This is what the Bible says. Keep on loving one another, brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. For by so doing, some have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Continue to remember those in prison and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. You may say, preacher, how are these the thoughts of God? Or let me help you. First, he's appealing to us. He appeals to us for fellowship in a local church. He appeals to us. Fellowship in a local church, he instructed followers of Jesus Christ to keep on loving each other, to be hospitable, and to take care of those in prison and those who are mistreated in our society. Loving other fellow believers, other fellow followers of Jesus Christ, those who have said yes to the invitation to come to the banquet. Loving one another is vital to the organic life of any local church. For love is the greatest evidence of spiritual fellowship in the body of Jesus Christ. Love. Oh, let me show you how this works. I have seen this in a huge, huge way this year in this church through two venues that God placed here. One of those venues in your small groups. I've seen this year in this church through the small groups. In the last 2 weeks, God had given me the privilege and the opportunity to be able to speak with most of the small group leaders. And as I spoke with them, these are some of the things that I learned God is doing in this church. When the prophet says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, how can we have the thought of God? To have the thought of God is to be able to think like God, to be able to act like God. And one way to think and act like God is to be able to show love to one another. These are some of the things that I learned. As I spoke to the small group leaders and I spoke to the regional care facilitators, how you have shown the love of Christ in very practical ways to each other. I've had the privilege to peek behind the curtain, so to speak, as I've spoken to many of the small group leaders and the regional care facilitators. I was blown away by how much love you are showing to each other within your small groups. Now, I made most of these calls in my office, in the basement of my house. And I think my family probably can attest, there were times I was weeping because I was so joyful to be able to hear the things that you are doing with one another. Oh, probably my weeping was also a mix of the fact that I miss being with you, I miss being in this place, I miss seeing your faces, I miss touching you. But when I heard what you are doing with one another, I was brought to tears. You showed me how you have been the hand of God at work in your, how the hand of God had been at work in your personal life and in the lives of the people in your small group in your region. Wow, hear what happened, 2020. 2020 has been tough, and yet you have shown the resiliency because of the power of God working through you. Through your small groups, there are those who fell ill this year and felt encouraged because you were there for them. I remember hearing from Ara. Ara is the overseer of our hospitality ministry. And she said, Pastor, I just need to sing praises of my small group. I was here. There was a lady in my small group who can bake. She can bake. And she baked and brought stuff to the house. Of course, we couldn't see each other. I mean, we couldn't touch each other. So what she did is she brought the basket and just left it at the door. I heard the doorbell. By the time I came to the door, I looked in the basket and she was taking off. Then I took the basket inside the house and I found stuff in a basket where I had to call the lady back and say, can you do more? And she said, yes, I can. And I'm listening to this. I'm saying, Ara, I'm praising God with you even right now. In your small groups, there are those who are going hungry because they didn't have groceries. They didn't have money to be able to buy groceries. You ran out as a regional care facilitator. You went to Myers. You went to Aldi's. And you brought groceries and went to the door and dropped groceries and you took off. How can we have the thought of God? We can have the thought of God by acting like God. And how do we act like God? By loving one another. In your small groups, there are those whose marriages were at the brink of falling apart. You encourage them to not let go, to hang in there, even to a point of putting together, during this pandemic time, during this social distancing time, to put together a marriage retreat. Can you believe it? Marriage retreat and took off and went and worked on issues with the Word of God and with the people of God, showing love to one another. And I can stand here with you and be able to celebrate that people are going to go different directions, are coming in the same direction. Folks, you've loved one another. In our community, there are those who are seeking refuge. And to some, they're the pariah of this world, the refugees. And yet, in this very church, there are those who say we are going to go countercultural. So refugees are coming. They put signs. They carry people. They go to the airport with sign that says, we are the Verwais. We are the Sleemans. And we are welcoming you to West Michigan. How can we have the thought of God? We can have the thought of God when we act like God. When we act like God. And how do we act like God? We act like God when we love one another. Yes, 2020 has been a tough year, but in this community, you have exemplified the love of God. You have welcomed those who are not welcomed in our community. Friends, God has held us together. We have seen this year. When one door closes, God finds a way to open another. He will never let her go. So I want to call you this morning to hold on. Hold on to his unchanging hand. Hold on to his unchanging hand because he will never let you go. He will never let you go. He's a faithful God. He is true to his word. Season may come and go, but our God remains the same. This is what Isaiah is declaring. Season may come and go, but our God remains the same. Isaiah is declaring this in Isaiah chapter 55. If you were to look at verse 10 and 11, he is declaring this. He says, things may change, but I'm going to stay the same. I am the same. I am the same yesterday. I am the same today. I am the same forever. Oh, I would like to read to you verse 10 and 11. This is what it says. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. The word of God is trustworthy. Isaiah assures us that God is far more, the word of God, God is far more than just mere words. The word of God produces fruit, and it is effective in accomplishing God's purposes in our lives. It is. Isaiah's audience can rest assured that the promise of salvation and celebration will be fulfilled. Now I know I got so excited sharing with you what God is doing in me and is doing in this community, to where I didn't tell you what the second point was. I just kept going because I got really excited. But the word of God is true. God is faithful. So if you want to know what the second point is, it goes with this idea that my thoughts are not your thoughts, because you've been invited, you need to have the thought of God. So followers of Jesus Christ are invited to be hospitable as a way to welcome others to eternal life with God in Christ. That was the second point. That you, followers of Jesus Christ, me, follower of Jesus Christ, we are invited to be hospitable as a way to welcome others to eternal life in God, with God in Christ Jesus. Now, the third point, as we get to at the end of our talk this morning, the third point will be this: the word of God is trustworthy. The word of God is effective and always accomplishes its purpose. Heaven and earth will pass away, my friends, but the word of God will remain forever. These are the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 24, verse 35. He says, heaven and earth will pass away, but one thing will remain forever. That is the word of God. And that word is effective. That word is true. That word is powerful. That word that John declared in John chapter 1, verse 1 through 4, that at the beginning there was the word and the word was with God. That is Jesus Christ. He will remain forever. So third point as we close is this: the word of God is trustworthy, effective, and always accomplishes its purpose. The same promise is true for us today that was given to the people of Israel through this prophet back then. As long as we have Jesus in our hearts, my friends, we don't have to worry about our circumstance, the circumstances around us. Oh, let me say that one more time. As long as we have Jesus in our hearts, my friends, we do not have to worry about the circumstances around us. Do you have Jesus in your heart? If you do, you do not have to worry about the circumstances around you. This is what you need to do. You need to stay focused on Him. And the promise given in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 and 12 will be true. This is what God says. God says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. The plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me. And listen, I will listen to you. Then you call on me, come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. So as we close, here are a few questions I would like to ask you. And I want you to seriously think about these questions now and even as you walk away from this place. I want you to consider these questions. What are you thirsting for in this season? What are you thirsting for in this season? Because the prophet tells us, come. Come to me, all you who are thirsty. You know what you are thirsting for. Nobody else does but you. So I ask you to reflect on that. Not only to reflect on it, I ask you, once you have discovered what you are thirsting for, take a moment to identify that thing, your greatest need during this season. And once you have done that, heed what the Word of God says. Bring those needs to the King who has promised to transform them. Bring them to the King who has promised to transform them. Instead of being distracted by life circumstances, we need to stay focused on God today. Lest we forget what God is willing to do and is doing on this day. And as you do so, you who have responded to the invitation, hold on to His unchanging hand. And if you have not responded to the invitation, I can't take my seat in peace without extending to you an opportunity today. I can't take my seat in peace without giving you an opportunity today to be able to respond to this invitation that the prophet is giving, the invitation that Jesus has given, the invitation that you are hearing this morning to come to Him. So wherever you are, in your living room, in your car, or whatever space you are watching this at, there is an invitation extended to you. And for friends who are here in this space this morning, if you have not responded to the invitation, it is extended to you on this day. The greatest need that we all have, all of us, as we are reflecting on your greatest need, the greatest need that we all have is to have a relationship with God. Because through that relationship, God will transform everything else in our lives. So if you have not responded to the invitation of Jesus, this is a great day to be able to do that. And remember, it is a free gift. The only condition is for you to receive and respond. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you that you are an amazing God, a loving God. You are indescribable. We lifted your name up this morning in this place as we sang songs of praises. We have lifted your name up as we preach your word. And I pray, Lord, that the promise you have given about your word, that you will never return void, that those who have heard this word today will be transformed because they have received the gift of God. For those who do not know you, Jesus, I pray that they come to know you today. As we conclude this Advent season, as we anticipate your coming, may you be reborn in our hearts and born anew in the hearts of those who do not know you. And for us who've been walking with you, Lord, help us. Help us to hold on to your unchanging hand. Today may come and go, but you are the same. You were the same yesterday, you are the same today, and you'll be the same forever. This we pray in your name, Jesus. Amen.